right, chickens. It's the Puffcast.
Oh, my God. I've got my radio voice.
Hello, chickens.
That's radio. What I say at the start of my segment on the radio.
Yeah, I get it.
It's right. Very annoying.
You're the gay guy, right? You do the gay stuff.
Although I normally say, hello, chickens. This is fabulous. I'm Richard Outrageous Scott Brennan, punctual Toby Sullivan.
Hi, it's Fifi here. Yeah.
This is the Puffcast.
I'll be right back.
Tonight, from Hollywood, it's Cheryl.
Hello?
Oh, my God. Is that Nelly?
Oh, my God. Is that the apathetic faggots?
Yeah.
We're not apathetic. We're self-obsessed.
It's different.
It's different.
Oh, so you're at the marriage equality rally then, are you?
We're having our own.
Oh, really?
We do a lot of very good works by, you know, giving people something to listen to on the train other than fucking Kyle and Jackie O. So I think we're doing a lot more
absolutely.
Than those limp-wristed so sure
bitches at the rally.
I was going to go, we do a lot of good works by giving people...
gonorrhea.
A reason to see their friendly doctor.
A reason to have a checkup now and then.
Yes, that's right.
We do that too. We talk to the AIDS Council.
We can't joke about AIDS. Move on.
Why do we need to go to a rally? None of us actually want marriage equality, I don't think.
In 5 seconds. 5 seconds you can't let us go without wagging your fucking
even
finger.
Said hello. She didn't even say hello.
Equality. Oh,
she started on with apathy.
Well,
Jesus
Christ.
Faggots. I'm not there either.
You're so shit at being bisexual. You've got a man and a child.
Yeah.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it?
You should be having lots of sex all the time. That's the
whole
point of being bisexual.
I know, because the B's really meant to mean G, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, sorry about that.
Bisexual equals rampant, I was about to say necrophilia, nymphomania.
Hey, don't limit her, Adam, don't limit her.
Either way, that sounds all right to me.
Yeah, great.
All right, Nell, you've got a book.
I have.
What Women Want.
Mm.
Right.
With me on the cover. It's an advertisement.
Yeah.
Is this some sort of gigantic dating advert?
You'll have to forgive me this morning. I'm a bit slow on the uptake because I did a fundraiser last night.
Oh. A fundraiser.
Yeah. Story of your life, isn't it?
Terrifically organised, you can imagine.
What were you raising money for? Gluten-free whale food?
Oh, yeah, you know. Something to the left of Genghis Khan, so you wouldn't be interested at all, Toby.
No, not whatsoever.
Was it for lesbian bed death?
It was to raise money to make sure it happens more often.
Because you, on the other hand, are getting so much, I hear, Adam. So.
I'm getting too much. It needs to stop.
Well, hello.
Well, let's just say I've got very supple hands.
Right. You know what is amazing about you three? I think this is like equilibrium, where last time we spoke, of course, you're the married one.
Mm, yeah.
And now I understand that shifted. You've just handed the baton.
Yes.
Well, no, Scott got into a relationship, which he won't fucking shut up about. I felt a need to get rid of mine.
To get out.
Yeah, because
I
thought...
It's so tedious.
Well, now that he's in a relationship, I won't accidentally have sex with him at a sauna. So I figure it's safe to go back. I don't want to fall into the fucking time tunnel.
Good job.
I would actually lay money on that still happening. But fair enough.
Picturing us like in a dark room and just all hands and both of us just going, Adam? Scott?
This is the first time in years I've heard Sullivan quiet, but let's move on.
Because we both fucked him in a dark room and he doesn't know about it.
Sorry, I've just walked back in the room. I've been in the steam room for 20 minutes.
I think it was you, Toby, who introduced me to the concept of the groping wall, which I still has not left my mind.
The groping wall equivalent.
Is it where you stick your bits through the holes and don't even know who's
glory
on the other
holes.
Side?
Glory holes.
Jesus.
Or otherwise...
How much more disconnected from the other person can you fellas get?
Oh, my God. The glory hole arcade, otherwise known as my hallway.
I've been in your hallway. It was all right.
Well, a lot of people have, Nelly.
When he says hallway, he doesn't mean the one at his house.
No.
All right, so you've written a book.
Yes.
What
stop
Women
stop
Want.
Deflecting the topic.
Yes.
What, you are the worst self-promoter ever.
you're the glory holes.
Yeah, the only person I know who's written a book called What Women Want and you start talking about glory holes.
Right, let's, really? Let's do this properly, all right?
All right.
Yeah, good.
So, Nelly, you've got a new book out.
I have. I've got a... Apparently, it's part memoir, part manifesto, which is really just a way of saying...
Who reviewed
it's
and
me talking
it that?
About shit in the context of my own life.
Is it actually about what women want?
Or
are you just picking Mel Gibson movies at random?
Oh, my God.
Like, was the working title Lethal Weapon 3? with a photo of you and a little speech bubble saying, I'm too old for this shit!
Look, some dudes die. That's all I'm going to say. Do you know the funniest thing doing interviews, because I've been doing the interview circuit, you can so tell, which probably applies to you three as well, when people haven't read it.
Yeah.
Because a few guys on commercial radio who think it's like a dating book. And in fact, one actually played a segment from the Mel Gibson movie before the interview.
No.
And I'm like, dude, you don't know how far from the pack I have strayed with this. But you know what? Feminism by stealth. Yeah. So who needs to read it?
It's basically just about, you know, being nice to people, isn't it? Isn't it?
Well,
that it?
Look, it, you know,
don't be a cunt is what you're saying.
Do you want the serious answer?
Yes.
I can give that shit.
Yes.
Basically, I was on ABC Radio one day and someone called in on Talkback and they did that whole, I'm sure you've heard this before, that whole, you modern women, you want it all.
Oh, and, yes. You want baby and the career and you can't have it.
Yeah, you want to have it. And I thought, well, I suppose that's true if you mean kids and a job. You know.
Because that is it
that
all, really.
But in all seriousness, it actually really got me thinking, because obviously the options for my generation of women, of people in general, but particularly of women, are so radically different from our mothers and grandmothers. Mm. And it got me thinking, well, what do we want? So I basically go through different contemporary issues.
I have actually read it, and it's 300 pages of what Nelly reckons, really, isn't
it?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah,
you know, one of my favourite reviews said it's an extended opinion piece.
Right. It is.
Right.
It is.
Fair enough. With some
jokes. Exactly right. You're exactly right.
Right.
With some jokey jokes in there.
Couple of gags.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of, you know, the culmination of what, nearly a decade of stand-up in a book.
Right.
Really?
Well, it seems like it's the combination of nearly a decade of stand-up and a lifetime of fucking complaining.
Now, listen, I wanted to ask you about something that I read in the book, and it goes to an interview we did a couple of weeks ago, because you talk about how initially at university you identified as lesbian.
Yeah, lesbian.
Yeah. And then,
Vampiros lesbos.
And then you started cocking on.
Yeah.
And you kind of like...
Well, to be fair, I hadn't stopped, but I pretended
I hadn't. Sure. Yeah. But you copped a lot of shit from other gays about not being gay anymore.
Oh, and, like Ruby Rose.
Oh,
yeah, from the homos. Does Ruby cop that?
Ruby,
or she dishes it out?
No, she's been cocking on for some time, so I hear.
Has she? Oh, interesting. Mm. Well, do you know...
Because we spoke to a guy a couple of weeks ago who has recently come out of the straight closet. He'd been gay for many years.
The gay press dude.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
What I think is interesting is that for all the kind of lip service, no puns, leave it alone, that is given to the spectrum.
Sorry. I've got a new pun button.
I'm going to give birth.
Really oh, my God, is that how it happened?
But I reckon, and you fags have to take some responsibility for this, quite frankly, the whole DLBTI, I honestly think the community, as you could say, really goes, well, the B's okay as long as you're really a G or an L. Mm-hmm. You know, by definition, the B means that you might have relationships with the opposite sex. Otherwise, you'd be a G or an L.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, for example, I read the other day, you know how much I love Ange. Jolie.
Oh, right, yes.
She was described.
I don't know her as well as you do, Nelly.
I call her the future Mrs. Pitt.
Right.
Oh, I hope not. Let's not get back onto the marriage thing. Read in, you know, No Idea or one of those things, her referred to as allegedly bisexual.
Right.
You're like, allegedly murdered somebody.
Yeah. I was going to say, in fairness, those charges have yet to be brought.
There's nothing alleged about it? Like, how much more out does a woman
have to be? It's kind of like, unless you're actually out there on Santa Monica Boulevard totally going the growl, we're not going to believe you, Angie.
We're not going
to
believe
you. Do you think it's got something to do, Nelly, with the fact that so many people who identify eventually as either gay or lesbian
started at
they spend a lot of time at bisexual, like it's Flinders Street waiting for the right train.
I think it's a few things. I think, well, one of the other things I find interesting, though, before we get on to that, is that when I did eventually come out as bisexual, even though I don't quite like the word, but when I, you know, abandoned the
You like the pole and the hole.
The pole and the hole. It's revolting.
Oh, God.
Please welcome Julian Clary.
I actually had not just straight friends, but a lot of gay and lesbian friends say to me, oh, you know what, I do that a bit too.
All right.
You know, actually quite a number of gay male friends who said, yeah, you know, I have the occasional, you know, sex with women or, but didn't feel that they could ever say that either.
Right.
Undercover fishmongers. How about that?
Wow. And I think, Toby, you and I have discussed this before. Another example, I remember seeing Ricky Martin on Oprah. Of course I did. And,
well, you read New Idea. You watch Oprah.
What else have I got to do? And he was on there talking about, because he was engaged for 3 or 4 years to a lady. And Oprah's like, so, you know, did you have sex? And he's like, well, yes. And, you know, did you enjoy having sex? He's like, yeah, we had a great sex life and, you know, really happy and blah, blah, blah. And she said to him, so are you bisexual? He goes, absolutely not.
Oh. It's like a swear word.
And I thought, why? Like, why is it such a terrible thing to say? Like, almost by definition, if you had a fulfilling sexual relationship with this woman, it doesn't mean that you don't love the man you're with now.
No.
But a lot of it's politics, though. A lot of it is about identity
and
politics.
It is about kind of reductionism as well. It's about reducing you know, all of human experience into basically three or four different categories.
What if we changed it from bisexual to ambisextrous? Would that make it easier?
No, I'm going to be polling the hole.
Hole pollers.
Do you know, I think part of it, which no doubt you will all understand the irony coming from, particularly the gay male community, let's be honest, part of it is this assumption that you're going to cheat.
Because you're bisexual, you are an infomaniac, and therefore you can't stop having sex.
You will read anything. You can't be in a monogamous relationship. You know, that you can't be loyal. You know, I'm not even going to get into that. What a load of nonsense.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same as, like, you know, when you're a gay man, you're not allowed to hang out with other gay men because you might accidentally have sex because we're such rampant.
Oh, look, you know, I fell on a penis.
Ass fuckers.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, you can only spend time with fag hags and, you know, the pedo bear. Yes.
Well, you know, the other thing I think that I've certainly had leveled at me is, well, how can you be, like, satisfied in a monogamous relationship, to which my response is, how can anybody be? You know, I mean, I think there's this thing of, oh, you must be, like, I must be walking around the streets of Melbourne just desperate for some lesbian action. Please.
Your vagina flaps are tingling every time you walk through Northgate.
You're loitering suspiciously outside organic bakeries.
And 3CR.
Come on, I haven't scissored anyone for months.
Exactly.
I just want someone to stroke my hair.
I just want someone to read Sylvia Plath with. Come on.
Season 3 of the L Word isn't going to watch itself, mate. And I think I find that one the most ridiculous because, I mean, all jokes aside, of course you have desire for other people, as does anybody in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's whether you act on it is really between you and your partner and whatever kind of relationship you've got. But this kind of assumption that everyone in committed monogamous relationships, regardless of their sexuality, never looks or has desire for another is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. It's the thing that sustains you.
I know.
It's window shopping.
It's the thing that gets you back home and into the sheets because you're like, oh, man, that tradie was too hot up that ladder today. I'm going to go home and pound the fuck out of my
That's not quite where I was going. Yeah.
And then of course it becomes awkward because like, honey, look, I've photocopied his face. Can I just stick that bit of paper on your head, please?
I'll put it on the back of your head. Yeah. On the back.
What's your name? same again? Yeah, go, go, go. That's fantastic.
Do you know how to do any electrician sort of stuff? And can you climb up a ladder?
Yeah. But I do. I mean, I think in the politics of it, I think that's partly to do with that. I also wonder, you know, you still get this bullshit of, oh, well, you know, you can have your cake and eat it too. Yeah. A, why wouldn't you if you could?
Yeah.
You know? But also, B, who gives a shit? Why do you care what I'm doing?
Do you think that when, you know, a day is coming, obviously, when we will be equal with marriage and everything. Like, once marriage equality happens, that's it. We've got nothing else left to complain about apart from some rednecks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's when the bisexual kind of thing will start to happen, where it'll become more accepted because everything else is more accepted? That it's still the shame on both sides?
I agree. And I think that's one of the interesting things about the bloke that you spoke about a couple of weeks from the gay press, whose name I can't remember.
Nick.
What I found interesting, and I mean, I don't mean to personalise it, but is that he's chosen to marry.
Mm.
Because for me, and you know, Toby, get your little violin out. but for me, that is a problem. You know, the fact that he's with a woman, I obviously couldn't give a shit.
Right.
But the fact that he would choose to enter an institution that is not open equally to everyone. For me, politically, is a problem.
That's bullshit. I think that's bullshit.
I think that might be a more personal thing for him, though. Yeah. I think that's like
he's in love with her.
I've been in love with you the whole time. I've tried the cock, and now
he knows there's no one else that he wants.
How committed I am to this relationship, I will marry you. It's that kind of a thing.
To refrain from marrying because not everyone can marry is
even Brad and Angelina didn't hold that end of the bargain up as much as they said.
That's
they
just
would.
Like.
Although I do have quite a good friend who is a qualified marriage celebrant, and she actually won't do it until gays and lesbians can get married. Because
well,
it is.
I mean, look, I'm not that interested in getting married anyway, but I certainly wouldn't do it until everyone was able to. And I can understand, for me, I can understand the resentment that some, obviously none of you three, but that some same-sex couples have toward bisexual people who do marry. I can understand that.
Look,
not the resentment towards being in a relationship, but it is fundamentally unfair.
Yeah, look, but you know what? It's coming. It's not like it's not going to happen.
Well, then wait till it comes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you know.
Yep.
I think it's an inevitable thing.
I want my
thing.
Seat sets too.
You can just buy those.
Yes. I can see some fucking China.
It just, you know, it's coming. The day is coming. It's going to happen. There's no stopping it, even for those people who don't want it to happen.
Yes. It's,
you know,
but I think
the train is coming.
Yes. The politics in the community, I think that's part of it, because I think some people sit back and kind of go, well, you're in a privileged position. And my response to that is, well, yes, I am. That's not my fault. For a start. Like, it's not my fault that I can walk down the street with my partner holding his hand. Like, I get it. I get it.
Yeah,
that
but when you walk down the street with your partner holding his hand, people look and go, oh, look at the gay bo and the leso.
In our case, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Brad and Angelina, probably not. But what I can control, I can't control that, really. But what I can control, for me, and it is, you know, I know it might seem glib, but for me it is sincere. I can control not entering an institution that I really don't think is fair.
Until
everyone's allowed.
Fair enough.
But that's not the institution's fault.
Yeah.
No.
The institution is,
in our country, it is a government institution.
Yes.
Yes.
So the government controls that institution. The government can decide who can and can't go into it.
And there are bills before Parliament at the moment waiting for the day that it eventually gets tabled.
And as I said, when it comes through, knock yourself out. But at least today, that's not the case.
Right. Well, I think that's fair enough. I support you in that attitude,
Nellie.
Good work.
Thank you.
I do. Yes, I do.
Well, then everyone go and buy her book so she can be supported financially as well as emotionally.
And listen, I just want to say that in recognition of Nellie's stand, I will not read any more books until everybody's got a book published. I'm not going to read everything until everyone's got a book. It's fundamentally unfair, Alan and Unwin.
I'm not going to have sex with anyone Until everyone has two hands that they can masturbate with.
Because I tell you, Toby, publishing a book is something you've coveted since you were 4 years old, and your parents would be so proud, wouldn't they, if you got a publishing deal. It would make no difference at all if you're ever in hospital and someone that your partner needs to come in and help you. I mean, it was, what you need is a publishing deal. That'll sort you right out.
Exactly.
They're comparable for sure.
Absolutely. I need the Spotter's Guide to Boy Bands. That's going to be like the Good League of Boy Bands.
You'll be right.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Oh, dear me. Well, Nellie Thomas, thank you, darling. Big air kisses. The book is What Women Want, available in good bookshops and probably some disreputable ones as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, it's in Hares and Hyenas. So.
There you go.
That's full of those faggots.
Yes.
Are bisexual people allowed to purchase from there?
We go in undercover.
Oh, no, right. They have to pay double.
Right.
It's a bit like the peel. I mean, again, you know, aesthetically, I get away with it.
Yeah.
Some of my compadres, not so easy.
Thanks, Nellie.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you. See ya.
That was fun.
I'd stop this if it wasn't hilarious.
Talk poofy to me.
Learned friends.
Okay, here we go. This is
it's my favourite bit. You know, we are getting a lot of feedback that this is everyone's new favourite segment. So let's.
It's the best.
Let's just hand over to Mother Horan and the Poofstery.
Oh,
hello.
Welcome, Professor Mother.
Am I on?
Yes. Oh, is your head?
Are you on,
working?
Baby?
Oh, there I am.
Hello.
There's technology.
Oh, gosh.
I'm one for the books. Not for the
I know.
So listen, Paul, we've been doing this for like maybe 4 weeks, so I imagine we've probably pretty much covered everything.
Yeah.
There can't be that much more to say, can there?
No. More to say about the poofs.
As every gay bar should teach you, poofs can do it every which way.
Yeah.
They can find themselves into every kind of situation.
Yeah. So what do you have from sistery for us today?
Well, let's be third wave proto-feminists.
Yeah.
Call it manstery. What's in the manstery today?
Great. Thanks, Sister Toby.
You're in a safe space now. You can speak freely.
Good luck with the transition.
God, it's not working out so far, Toby.
Her tits are terribly flat.
Yes.
Now, when I say bush rangers...
I just think of terrible heterosexuals.
I just think of every boy walking up and down Brunswick Street looking like Ned
Kelly. A beard.
Shave it.
See, you
shave
say bush, it. I think of vagina.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I went straight to flannel lesbian when you said that. That was bush range.
Well, I'm a prop homosexual. I don't think of vaginas at all.
Right.
Now, when I say bush rangers, we think of them as these
the
macho
Ned
guys. Ned Kelly's running around the bush shooting things.
Yeah.
Very, very straight.
Mm. Yes.
Not so straight.
Oh, really?
What?
You may or may not have heard of, there was, often they took pseudonyms. Ned Kelly was Ned Kelly, but there was also Captain Thunderbolt.
Oh, no.
And these were all
She does the show at the Exchange on Thursday.
But these were all names in the 1860s that were given often by tabloids to these criminals and they all lived up. But there was one chap, Captain Moonlight.
Hello.
And also not Moonlight, L-I-G-H-T, L-I-T-E.
Oh, watching
light on her feet.
That's right. Watching her weight with that one.
A little bit light in the Blunstone.
Yes. Anyway, Moon Fat didn't really roll off the tongue. So.
No.
Isn't that Woody Allen's wife?
Oh, my God.
Okay. Back on track.
Back on track.
Anyway, Captain Moonlight.
Captain Moonlight was a bushranger in the 1860s. Very, very notorious. He's working at exactly the same time in the same area as Ned Kelly was.
Oh, so
a little bit like
Victoria.
Marilyn and Boy George.
Very similar.
So in Victoria in the kind of...
It's around about 1860s, 1870s. Right. And his real name was Andrew George Scott, and he was a lay preacher in Bacchus Marsh. When he was first done for his first
There were just so many potential double entendres.
He's called Andrew George Scott. I've got three first names.
That's
still.
Right. But it was more the lay preacher in Bacchus Marsh that we all froze.
We're paralyzed by choice.
We've all been there. Anyway, so he was done for his first robbery then and goes to Sydney, passes a few dodgy checks.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Anyway, gets thrown into Pentridge Prison. And when he comes out...
I used to walk the dog around there. It's a lovely spot.
When he comes out in 1879, he hooks up with a young gentleman, a guy called Nesbitt, who he met there. Now, from then on in...
Nesbitt!
Hi, I'm Andrew George. This is Nesbitt.
They become These guys become totally inseparable and they become lovers. Now, early historians loved to write gays out, and there was a lot of kind of, you know, it was very clear that they were lovers. And there was a lot of saying, oh, no.
Well, I guess if they were already breaking the law by stealing things, isn't it?
Yeah.
A bit of buggery on the side's not going to hurt.
Fuck it. Fuck it.
Basically, but there has been all these letters that have been uncovered between them where Scott is basically professing his, you know, torrents of love towards Nesbitt. So it's very clear that these two were gay. Anyway.
I'd love to hold you up.
Nesbitt
stand and deliver up my shit pipe.
Yay. I'll get your pistol out of there. It's not night time yet.
Anyway. I'm a bandit, an ass bandit. That is.
Maybe they started the hanky code with their little scarves.
Anyway, these two.
Stop, your money or your life, or would you like your colours done?
Anyway, these two become, you know, they start basically, because Scott is very well educated. He goes on the lecture circuit saying, hey, I'm a bit of a bandit, and starts to do.
What?
So he goes
not
on
an
the lecture
bandit,
circuit.
A regular bandit.
It's quite interesting how celebrity worked then and
so
works
he was
now.
Like the Chopper Reed.
Yeah, basically. He'd do all these lectures all around Melbourne and say, look, I held up banks and everything, and how cool am I? And this is Nesbitt.
And then the show really started.
And he basically. Imagine Chopper Reed and Anthony Kalia doing the rounds.
Anyway, that's how I got my ear chopped off. Now a song. I don't think I'd go.
No.
Anyway, so these guys go on the lecture circuit, but they become, because they were the first kind of gangsters on the lecture circuit, they start to attract all this really negative publicity from the tabloids of the time. Mm. So basically, they're running out of money, and because they're not getting any lectures because of all the tabloids saying this shit. So basically they say, well, if they're going to accuse us of being nasty, how about we start up our own gang? Ned Kelly's doing it. So basically they go around brothels, get all these guys, and start basically a gay bushrangers gang.
Oh my God.
They go all around Glen Rowan. In fact, they had to kind of get out of the Glen Rowan area because Ned Kelly was saying, hey, our patch, piss off. So they go into southern New South Wales.
And they're all like, bitch's got no class anyhow.
Let's go to Marimbula.
So they start handing it. And anyway, everything goes terribly wrong. And at one shootout, Nesbitt gets shot.
Not Nesbitt.
Oh, he got shot right in the Nesbitt.
And at the time, the newspapers basically described when Scott was holding Nesbitt as he was dying. His leader wept over him like a child, laid his head upon his breast and kissed him passionately. Anyway, so they all get caught. Scott goes to jail.
Again.
And he gets sentenced to death. Now, he goes... quite well known. He goes to the gallows wearing a ring which is made out of Nesbitt's hair. He's plaited this lock of hair into a ring and he wears it to the gallows when he's hung.
Creepy.
And
his
last request was to get buried with Nesbitt. Now, that never happened because the... Because the authorities
gay marriage wasn't legal back then.
But in 1995, someone campaigned, I'm not quite sure who did it, but good on you, campaigned to have the body exhumed, and they're now resting in peace together.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So, yeah.
I love Captain Poo Jabba.
He's great.
And if you like that story, someone's making a film.
I was going to say, why has no one done this?
A local guy has made a film. It's in post-production now. A guy called Rowan Spong. Does anyone know?
Oh, I know Spong.
I know Spong. Anyway, he got Barry Crocker and Tasma Walton and comes out later this year.
Awesome.
So there you are. Captain Moonlight, our own gay bushranger. Oh,
what's the name of the movie? Presumably. Can't fight the moonlight.
No, I think it's can't fuck the moonlight.
A little Nesbitt on the side.
What a lovely
story.
Yeah. Oh, gorgeous. That's beautiful.
Thank you, Mother Horan.
Thank you.
For bringing some light-fingered and light light feet to our lives. Well, Scott, it's time to part the cheeks and breathe the amyl through the mouth because it is time for us to speak to our major sponsor, our only sponsor.
I do feel like we're selling our souls a little bit here.
Well, that would involve us having one to sell.
Well, that's true.
It's the Grunt Report with Grunty McFuckring.
Right, thank fuck the three of you downward-facing gutter sluts have shut up long enough to let a word in edgeways from someone who actually finished primary school. So let me take advantage of the momentary silence offered by you speed queens humming on the hemorrhoids of some homeless pederast to inject a bit of fucking levity into proceedings. You know, in general, you boys, although calling you leather-ringed woofters boys is a bit like calling Julia Gillard Gidget, but let's go with it in lieu of the correct term, which should, of course, be defendants. You boys don't do a bad job of a morally disgusting commercial radio show. Let's go through the elements. Shitwits, tick. Time, tick. There we have it. Although there's one key element of commercial breakfast shows that you're missing. Entertainment news.
Oh,
my God. So thank fuck someone's around whose entire vocation is entertainment. To wit, fucking me.
Oh, dear.
So this week I'd like to once again save your sagging, prolapsing asses with my unique contribution to talking puffy movie reviews. Right, you line them up, I'll knock them down. By which I mean, shut the fuck up, I've prepared something. First movie, Crazy Stupid Love. Synopsis as follows. Some busboy conquers his fear of fingering a ranger. 4 stars. Although someone obviously taped over my copy with intermittent episodes of the American version of The Office. Fucking Pedro and his gadgets. But to be honest, I can't genuinely review this one because I turned it off after I spunked when Jason Priestley took his shirt off.
Jason Priestley's
in. Oh, my God.
Movie two. Iron Lady. Synopsis as follows. Rhonda Birchmore plays a mean old bitch who fucks a bunch of old cunts off and subsequently goes nuts. 4 stars. I had trouble following this film as it came from England and the review copy was not provided with subtitles. I can only assume that this omission will be corrected in cinemas, or at least they'll lend you an iPod to pass the time or something. Finally, movie three, The Avengers. Synopsis as follows. Boom! Swing! Whoa! Crash! Whooshy swoosh! Whoosh! Roll credits. No fucking idea what's going on. It moves so fast. They do realise the human brain has limits on the rate it can process information, right? Watching this fucking movie was like when they brainwashed the dude in Clockwork Orange. Another movie I haven't seen and couldn't give a shit about. 4 stars, which is one for every hour you'll spend being yelled at by nerds if you say you didn't like it. Right, that's me done. Until next week when Grunty McFuckring once again lifts the lid on Hollywood and gives you the inside running on all the red carpet goss. Fuck you and the horse you sucked off on your holidays.
Thank you, Grunty.
Thanks, Grunty.
Oh, I can't believe he's bought a chain of cinemas.
Oh, God.
By chain, I mean one.
One.
And it's a porn cinema. Yeah.
If you want my professional opinion, that boy gave in a handbag full of rainbows. Talk poofy
to me. Oh, God. Wow. That's been another one.
Yeah. That took some doing.
Yeah.
That's, ow.
It's sort of like at the end of the night at a pub. You know, like we get to the end of the night and everything's finished, but he's just got to go check the toilet one last time. And by the time we get to the end of this podcast, just like, oh, I'm going to go check the urine off of glasses.
Oh, you mean working in the pub?
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to pick up.
No, no. Oh,
that's what I thought. I thought this is a really...
Got to go and check the toilet, see if there's any trade, because I've done everyone who's here.
Working, it's like, right, yeah, everyone's out, the bar's clean. Oh, God, I've got to go check the toilet again.
Well, you have to check the toilet, because sometimes there's people asleep in there.
Well, that's true.
Hey, what?
Oh, God.
We'll be back next time on this podcast thing that we do.
I'm going to go check the toilet.
Can I just say, I was so going to, like, do this and go home because I've got to sort shit out. And that's changed.
Yeah, good. Yeah. One sip. Change. You're like Barney one from change. The Simpsons.
Literally one sip.
And I'm...
What the fuck was that?
I got a whole page of that. Stop it.
Stop it. You've had a really good go. I have let you have a really good go all afternoon.
Play the sloppy one. Play the sloppy one. No, the other one.
Wow. The Goonies. Like they're locked in a cave.
Wes is just texting now.
Oh,
no, I'm just finding out if I can actually go out tonight after the thing because of Bridget's catch. Doesn't matter.
No.
Bridget's catch.
I've just got to check on Bridget's pussy and maybe.
Oh, Mr. Slocum. Oh.
It's true. Talk profit to me.